This is an unusual topic for me to share, to need to share, but we're going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. And so turn there. We've been there for weeks, and we'll have at least a couple more weeks there. And we are at chapter 5, verse 12. And so the passage is respect church leaders. That's what we find. Now, yes, this seems a little bit awkward as a pastor to be teaching this. This comes up every so often because it's through the scripture, and the scripture is so clear about how important the church leaders are and how God has given leaders to help protect and guide the congregation and to guide, especially guide the congregation in God's word and in growing in that. And so, you know, if I didn't shy away from the beginning of chapter 4 on sexual purity, no, I can't shy away from this passage either. But there's so much here. The pastors and leaders who were in churches that I was part of before I was asked to serve as pastor had a huge influence on my life. And so I certainly need to share from God's word on this and wanting the very best for each person. And now, I will say, there's been a couple times more recently when I've been asked to preach at another church. And I remember one time last year, and I told, I avoided telling him what I was going to preach about. And he began asking, and I appreciate that. He wants to know and know the passage. And I said, Can you just trust me on this? So I preached on this. And it's a whole lot easier in another church to be able to preach and to say how important it is for another congregation to really get to know their pastor and listen and follow and those things. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 and 13. We're just going to look at these two verses this morning. Now we ask you, brothers, to give recognition to those who labor among you and who lead you in the Lord and admonish you, and to regard them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. So that's, I think, as far as I'm going to be able to get today. There's so much. What we find at the end of many of Paul's letters is in his letters, he'll explain some things like through a whole chapter, but then as he gets to the end of the end of the letters, it's like machine gun. It just comes, you know, one short idea and a next idea, next idea, next idea. So that's what we're gonna find. Oh, just wait till next week with verse 16, 17, 18. Anyways, they're just one short line after another, but there's so much in those. So, give recognition. Give recognition to. And so what this word means is to look to see them, to pay attention to them. Amplified Bible says, get to know those who labor among you, recognize them for what they are, acknowledge and appreciate and respect them all. ESV just says respect. So this is important not because the leader need it, not for their ego, but because each of us need to give that respect, give that recognition, because we need it. Each member needs to be able to give that. It helps to develop the gratitude to God for those he has put in our lives to help us grow and feed on God's word. It encourages us to follow them and to work together with them. And so, I love to hear when I was, when I had the privilege of being part of a church and not having the responsibility of leading a church. I love to hear from our pastor, from some of our other leaders, what God had done in their life, because my heart was drawn to them through that, and I was encouraged in that. And so I wanted to know more and more then how, what made them tick, how they grew in their faith. And that is what has inspired me over the years. And wanted, that's what made me want to listen to them as they taught God's word. Man, I wanted to learn every trick of the trade, as they say, every skill in rightly handling God's word, as I saw God speak to me through them. I wanted to imitate their faith. So, give recognition to those who labor among you, he says. So, give recognition to those who labor among you. So this word labor means to work. To work with sometimes wearisome toil and effort. And it is hard work. That is for sure. That I have learned over these years. It is hard work to seek to prepare God's word for a congregation, to do that in a way that connects with people, that speaks to their heart. And sometimes I'll do topics, but that's why oftentimes I will just preach through a book, because I realize how crucial it is for people to be able to just pick up the Bible and study it and read it for themselves and get bit by bit what God has given us. And so it is hard work. It is a challenge to prepare a balance of teaching and encouragement and equipping, and to make sure that I'm trying to connect with people and make sure that they're doing well in their walk with Christ, make sure that they have the resources that they need and the opportunities to serve and grow. And I certainly would say I am not perfect at that at all. And so pray with me, pray for me in this and for others in our congregation as they help lead in these areas. I'm reminded of what Paul says in chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Paul has said a few things through this book about the challenge it is of being a leader and leading others and in growing in Christ. So First Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, so just probably flip a page or two back. He says, "We cared so much for you that we were pleased to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. For you remember our labor and hardship, brothers, working day and night so that we would not burden any of you as we preached God's gospel to you." So this is the Apostle Paul writing to this church in Thessalonica that he had started. He hadn't been able to be there very long. He had to leave quickly because of the opposition. And yet he sent others to continue the work. And he, as well, wrote them this letter of 1 Thessalonians and then another letter of 2 Thessalonians, we call it. And so he reminds them of how much he cared for them, how much he labored and worked as he was sharing the gospel with them, as he was helping them grow in their faith and be established in their faith. And so we hear Paul saying just how hard a job that is. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul has to write to them because in Corinth was another church that he had started. And many had come after him and were questioning his ability to teach God's word, questioning the freedom we have in Christ, in this new covenant with Jesus, questioning his motives even, questioning his skill. And so he goes through this discussion of the things that God has led him through in his serving. Serving them, serving others as an apostle of Christ. And so he lists many things, and he's had, you know, shipwrecked 3 nights and stoned once and received lashes by the Roman authorities and just on and on. And he sums it all up by saying, verse 28, not to mention other things, there is the daily pressure on me, my care for all the churches. And so I'm certainly have never suffered the physical injuries that the Apostle Paul did. But that pressure, that desire to see others grow, and that wanting to make sure that they are strong in their faith and that I'm doing all that I'm supposed to. One church is a challenge enough to me to keep up with. I can't imagine the Apostle Paul's. He helped and carried that burden for all the churches that he had planted. But this, the reason, the fact that it is hard work, that it is an important job, is part of why the church needs to continue to raise up other leaders who will help share in the ministry, to be a team. We often see the scripture talking about elders, and it uses that word in a plural sense, so that more than one. And so we see how important that is, to keep training up new leaders. And so, first of all, every husband and father to be the leader of his own family in sharing in this task, and every mother to be leading her children, and then others to help to take responsibility for small groups, whether it's a Bible study in your home or whatever, or just seeking to make sure that you are helping to keep up with a newer believer and help them to learn the basics of the Christian life. And so we need more and more people who will do this kind of work. And then the church as well needs to seek to continually train, as we're training everyone, especially look to train up more leaders, more elders. So he says, give recognition to those who labor among you and lead you in the Lord, to lead you in the Lord. So this word lead you, it means to be over you, some versions will say, to superintend or preside over, or to be a protector, to be a guardian, to give care for, or to give attention to. So, to who leads you in the Lord. And that's crucial too. They are only supposed to be leading, and you're only supposed to be following as they're leading you in the Lord, in God's Word. And as I hear about problems in churches, and those usually make the media, I just have to scratch my head and say, well, that's clearly they're not leading in the Lord, and that's why there's that problem. And if they were making sure that it was only being led in the Lord, in God's Word, then there would never have been this abuse or the problems or whatever that make the media. So, give recognition to those who labor among you and lead you in the Lord. Now, I can definitely say it's a lot easier to lead when people are following well. And I appreciate this congregation and so many of you because of your faithfulness and your following well. And anybody who knows, who's had to lead any kind of an organization, you know, when you look back and there's nobody who's following along, and that's the challenge. That's what's disheartening. But when people are there with you and encouraging you, and like Aaron, and if I remember the names, is it Aaron and Hur, the guys who held up Moses' arms in the battle, that's what you need. And when you have people like that, man, it's a whole lot easier to fulfill the job of leading in the Lord. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. The writer of Hebrews puts it this way: obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account, so that they can do this with joy and not grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. So what he's saying is the leaders are going to have to give an account for how they led, how they oversaw those entrusted by God to them, those in their congregation, in their Bible study group, whatever it is, in their family, certainly. They are going to have to give an account to God for them and for their job in leading them. And so all of us want to be able to not have to be a grief to our leaders and say, oh man, I tried and tried, but they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't follow. They wouldn't. And yeah, they went running off in other directions, following other idols. And he's saying that would not be good for you. You don't want to do that. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls. So give recognition to those who labor among you and lead you in the Lord and admonish you. Admonish you. So this word is encourage and teach, those who admonish you. So 1 Thessalonians, if you just flip back just after what we read earlier, where he said, we cared so much for you that we shared, we were pleased to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, then in verse 11, Paul says, as you know, like a father with his own children, we encouraged and comforted and implored each of you, each one of you, to walk worthy of God, who calls us into his own kingdom and glory. So those who admonish you, and I can tell you, as a pastor who served for a while, yes, I feel, especially a lot of you younger guys, I feel like you're my younger, my brother, my son, and I care about you, or you're, like my daughter, and I'm very protective at times of you, and I want to see you grow and flourish in the Lord. And so I certainly understand what Paul said as he said, we encouraged and comforted and implored each of you to walk worthy of God as a father with his own children. I happened to see an article this week. It's emailed to me by Crossway. I don't often read all that much, but for whatever reason, this one caught my eye. I guess the title of it was, Spiritually Hungry? The church service is your main meal. I thought, okay, I'll listen. And so I read it, and it actually says a number of things that I think fit with this very well. So let me just read a little bit of it. It says, the Lord clearly loves communicating with his people as the gathered church. And this reality tells us something vital about what happens on a Sunday morning. And the writer in other place in that article says that actually most of the scripture is written to the gathered church, to a church, and is to be read in the church. And so it tells us something vital about what happens on a Sunday morning. So delighting in our main meal, the writer goes on. What exactly happens or should happen at our worship gatherings? A collective feasting on God's nourishing word. As his gathered people delight in his gospel of grace together, our souls are nurtured for the week ahead. Every church looks different in how it does this, but generally speaking, we feast on God's word during a worship service through at least four means: singing it, praying it, reading it, and hearing it preached. And then it talks about each of these, and if you want to see the article, let me know. But I'm just going to look at this last one, read this last one, where it says, we hear God's word. When you enter the sanctuary to worship God on a Sunday morning, a great and supernatural work has been happening behind the scenes. Sermon prep. God is ready to serve you his word through your pastor. Be ready to receive a life-giving, carefully crafted meal from God's mouth, through your pastor's mouth, straight to your soul. It is the Lord's glory and your pastor's to prepare a table before you so that your soul is strengthened for the week ahead. I pray this is true. I seek with all my heart and work to be able to do this. Pray with me for God to empower me to be able to study as well as have the power in the pulpit. And there are some traditions that believe that God's inspiration needs to be, you know, right there in the pulpit, and that's one, and sometimes God will put things in my heart to say that I hadn't prepared. But far more, God speaks to me as I study God's Word and as I take apart the passage and understand what the words mean and understand how it all fits together and how it fits in the whole picture. And that's when God speaks to me. And for me, oftentimes, that's when I feel closer to God. And then when I share that, sometimes it's just reporting on all this that God has put in my heart before. And so, however God chooses to do it, pray for me in this process. And pray for you as well to receive God's work week by week by the leaders that God has given. And I certainly appreciate the others who help in this. As it said, we hear God's word in singing. And that's why choosing the music is so important. And those who help with that, and I appreciate you guys who help with that. And I enjoy leading music at times, but I certainly enjoy at least as much when others do that. So thank you. And so I don't do it all that often, and that's fine. It's good to have others. And when we pray, we are praying God's word. And so I appreciate having others pray, often a benediction prayer, a summary prayer at the end. And sometimes they'll pull together what I tried to say in my sermon, and they'll say it in a few words, and I'm like, where's my pen? I want to write that down. That was better than I put in my whole sermon. Great. That's the point. God blesses through those who serve. And so it is in numerous ways that God's word is shared. Now, and certainly, it's not just Sunday morning. I'm not going to debate whether the personal Bible study or a small group Bible study or Sunday morning is more important. That's not the point. Certainly, as God works through each leader, we hear and we need to learn. And it is best for these kind of Bible studies to be under the authority of a church and part of the whole ministry of a church so that it all is working together well. For many years of my life, as I said, before I was asked to serve as pastor, Sunday morning was a crucial time that God trained me and taught me. And I can think of numerous times, that numerous passages that I had heard, and you probably got tired at times. Those of you who've been around for a long time, you probably heard me say, well, my father put it this way, and he was my pastor for years and years, and where I learned so much of God's word. And so you understand why I would say that all the time, because God has spoken to me so much through those who served as pastor in my life. So, no, I'm not going to debate as to whether this is your main meal or a main meal, either, whatever. But I will say, what God gives you through the pastor or whatever other leader that God has given you within His church is probably more important than what you'll find on YouTube or what you may hear on the radio. There's all sorts of stuff out there. And remember that often you don't know anything about those who are posting stuff on YouTube. They've got all sorts of stuff out there, and there's all sorts of, it runs a range. But the challenge, you don't get to see their life. They are showing you a very carefully crafted image. And just like all the influencers out there, you don't know their life. You don't really know if this is working for them. You don't know anything about them. Many of them are not overseen by a local church. They're not accountable to a local church. Nobody vets them. Just because they're on the radio or just because their book is sold in the bookstore does not mean that there's any body of theologians who are overseeing them and making sure that their material is accurate. Often you don't even know their education or their credentials. And what I would say is if they start misquoting scripture or twisting scripture, run. You know, turn that off, just because it is so important that we hear God's word accurately. And many, you know, these days they get paid by how many clicks they get on YouTube. I've talked with people who say, my church, my pastor, you know, is weak. It's weak in the scripture, not sticking with the Bible all that well, but that's okay. My main teaching is through this small group Bible study that I'm part of, whether it's a ladies Bible study or whatever. And I can't tell you how many. And I'm thinking, this is terrible. This is part of why the theological situation we find in our churches is what it is, where so many churches are letting go of the scripture, because the people are not demanding that God's word is honored and preached. They will say, well, I can put up with it because I'm getting fed over here in this parachurch group. And that misses what God has planned. I would say, make sure that your church is solid in God's word. And make sure that if it's not, then you make it solid. And if you can't, if you have run through all your avenues of influence, then find a church that will stand up for God and for His word. Pick a church based on the biblical teaching, not on the style of music or whatever else, how big a church it is. Ask God, are they best able to help me grow strong in my life? Are they best able to help me be trained in service in God? And remember, it's not just you. And I've had people literally tell me, yes, my church isn't that strong, but I'm involved in this Bible study. I'm thinking, okay, but what about the rest of your family? What about your kids? They're getting this weaker topics of the day instead of God's word. And you may think you're doing okay, but what are they getting? No, we need to make sure that God's word is strong in a church. And I would say if you or someone you know has questions about the church, concerns, they need to go to talk to their pastor and the elders, the other leaders in the church, and see where the church is really going. If they're not correctly handling the Word of God, or if they're deviating from the body of Christian theology and scholarship that we've had for a long time. Remember, Christianity is 2,000 years old, okay? So there's not much new. There shouldn't be that much new. We can see what God's word says and how people have taken that for millennia. Now, there are times when a congregation needs to rally and replace a pastor who has deviated from God's word. And there's stories of churches in our area that have had to do that. We all want peace, okay? And this next verse says, be at peace. Verse 13, and to regard them highly in love because of their work, be at peace among yourselves. So yes, we want to be at peace. But the only way you're going to be at peace is if we can agree on God's word. if God's word is our basis, then we can have peace. And don't just, what's the phrase? Go along to get along. No. We've got to make sure that God's word is the basis for our fellowship, for our agreement. No, we're not going to agree on every detail or every style. That's not the point. But if we can't agree that God's word is the foundation and how that is to be put into our lives, then there will be no peace. No peace in a church. No, maybe there shouldn't be peace as a church moves away from God's word. Well, verse 13 says, to regard them highly, very highly in love because of their work. Because of their work. And I can say, I appreciate this church so much. You have loved me and our family so much. There are many times that we are overwhelmed by your love and support. And that's major reason we've been able to be here for 31 years. And I praise God for that. And I praise God for how he is blessed through the ministry of this church. And many of you have been a major part of that. Some for many years, some for a few years. And praise God. Be at peace among yourselves. Why is this level of concern about church leaders and about following them? Because the gospel of our glorious Lord Jesus is so crucial. It is what's so important, and we cannot let it get corrupted. In chapter 5, verse 9 here, he says, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. So this is the gospel, that Jesus died for us, and that he has given life to all who put their faith in him. And so that whether we are alive for very long, but when we're alive and then when we're dying, we're going to live with him. That's the point. That's this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why the church and those who lead it is so crucial. So I would ask, have you made that decision to make Christ Lord of your life? Have you received him personally? Have you asked to have him come to live in your heart through faith? If you haven't, that's where it all starts. And so grow in him. If you haven't, we'd love to be able to talk with you through the scripture about how you can put your faith in Christ and receive him personally. And then, as it says then, recognize your church leaders. Learn all you can from them and imitate their faith. So join with me as we pray. Lord, we thank you that you have given us this message of Christ Jesus so that we can put our faith in you. We can know who you are, and we can know the forgiveness that can be found in Christ alone. And we rejoice. And we thank you for this church family who has committed themselves to following you and to living out your word in their lives every day and to growing in the holiness that comes through Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we thank you for that. We pray your great blessing on that. And, Lord, I thank you for each who are part of this church family and for how you are helping them grow and how they serve each other and bless each other. And so, Lord, I thank you that I can be part of this team and that you've allowed me or given me that responsibility to help lead in this church family. And I just pray your great blessing as we walk together based on your word, encouraging each other and making this glorious message of Jesus Christ known, calling all to come to put their faith in you and grow in you. So Lord, bless, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.